Services, Health and Education Committee meeting to order for July 6th. James, would you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have approval of minutes for June 1st and June 27th?
Motion, Mullen.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Dr. Chapman, good morning.
I've got a contract item. It's specific to Diane Scagliola. She's one of our psychiatric nurse practitioners. Diane's worked with us for several years now, works with kids and families, adults. Diane recently offered to work an additional 12 hours a week for us. So I'm looking to get your permission to add $39,000 to her current contract of $105,000. So the total would be $144,000. I've got money in the budget to cover the expense. Primary reason for the additional hours is I've got two other nurse practitioners that recently reduced their hours. So this is my best attempt to recoup some of the lost time.
I'll make a motion.
Second, Hannah.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Next item I'm going to put on hold until next month. I'm still collecting some information in regards to the Oasis Cola. Other item is Jack had asked me to share some ideas of how we could possibly use the opioid settlement funding. So I don't know if you want me to share those ideas now or hold them till later in the meeting. Doesn't matter to me.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sure. So I reached out to some of the local agencies that we have current service contracts with and wanted to share some of the ideas and requests for dollars that they're hoping to get to support their program. So starting with Catholic Charities, as you might recall, they have the opioid committee. Historically, we've given them $37,724. They're looking to get a few thousand dollars more than that. I haven't actually gotten a budget from them, but they've led me to believe that it'd be around $40,000. So that would be one of the requests. Another request is from Casa Trinity, who, as you know, has the inpatient and outpatient program in Hornell. We historically have funded $40,000. They're still running at a deficit, operating it as a deficit. So Ann Domingo's executive director there said that $40,000 would help them immensely. Casa Trinity also has a program that they refer to as Recovery Center. It's actually physically based in Livingston County in Dansville. It's a recreational program for people that are going through substance abuse treatment. It does overlap into Steuben County. I asked Ann to give me some figures. Apparently 377 Steuben County residents participated in this program last year. They do a lot of hiking, biking, social event types of things. They're requesting $175,000 for that program. CASA also has a DIVERT program they refer to. It's something that they just started this past year in the Hornell area, and it's actually with Hornell Police Department. It's wherever the officers, whenever they encounter somebody that appears that they would benefit from substance abuse treatment, the officers contact CASA Trinity's peer specialist, and that person gets in touch with the person and tries to engage them and get them interested in treatment services. for that program. It was funded under a grant that they had in previous years. So they no longer have funding. So they're looking for $60,000 to continue that program. And also they hope to expand to other police departments within the county. So it wouldn't just be with Hornell PD. That's where they started. Other ideas that I have are specific to my department. I think it would be helpful if we added two additional union positions, staff social work positions to work in the clinic. The total cost, including benefits, salary and benefits for those two positions would be $185,000. Main reason for this is to literally just try to reduce client caseloads. So people that are enrolled in services can be seen more frequently. Another idea specific to my department would be an additional $46,000. And what this would do is it would fund a 1.5 full-time peer support specialist. Right now, we currently have one part-time person. So with this additional funding, it would give us the equivalent to two full-time peer support specialists that I think a little bit of that could go a long way in terms of trying to meet with people out in the community and get them interested in services. We do a lot of that right now through the OD mapping in the county. It's very challenging. Some of the people that the peer specialist meets with do follow through with treatment. Others choose not to, but I can't help but think that if we can throw more people into the mix, we'll have better success in terms of getting more people enrolled.
And if I could, just for some context in terms of dollars that we're looking at and how much money we have from the opioid settlements, currently, excuse me, just let me pull up that email. Currently, we are physically in receipt of $316,000 in change. And by year end, we expect to have $678,000.
Additional or
total? Total. So those are the funds that we have available essentially year one. Now, absent some substantial change in the settlement, I mean, I don't, the settlement terms aren't going to change, but additional settlement, I think we're waiting on a couple that haven't formally come through yet. We will have more money, but after this initial slug, it's going to be less every year through, I believe, 2039. So, you know, that just to inform your decision making, the ongoing funding isn't going to be as substantial. The initial funding in a lot of counties are looking at kind of the one shot, you know, help a program get off the ground or something like that. From an opinion standpoint, and this kind of dovetails with the personnel items that are later on your agenda, Hank, Chris, and I have met, we've talked to Nate. You know, we're probably not unlike any other provider out there. We're running up against recruitment issues and hiring issues in that department. Hank has done a great job balancing staff with contracts, but we're finding it more difficult to have the contract agencies be able to replenish the services that we pay for, which leads us to look to bring more staff in-house. I would say, I'm apologize for jumping kind of ahead, but you're going to deal with the personnel stuff in a little bit. But in speaking with Hank, looking at the budgets, the cost savings to us in terms of contracting versus hiring has steadily been decreasing over the past at least 5 years. Normally, I'd estimate we'd save 20% or something like around their rough number by contracting for a service instead of hiring an individual as a county staff member. Due to a number of factors, it's been decreasing to where it might be 8-10% maximum that we are saving by contracting instead of hiring. And obviously hiring, gives us much more control. There are very specific DOL regs that we work with the law department on for Hank's office, for Patty's office, particularly because they are the departments that have the most amount of contract services, that there are firewalls that we have to have in place. And it's administratively takes a lot of time to make sure that those things are proper, because if we contract for a service, we can't supervise, we can't discipline. You know, that's all done by the agency that actually employs the person who is providing that service for us. So for a number of reasons, it seems to me, and we've talked with Nate and law plenty about this, that over time, these two departments, you might see us come, and this is kind of the first shot of that, saying, let's roll back some of the contracts and fill those with county staff members. And that's why, to me, the ones where we are actually funding additional positions in the budget seem like the low-hanging fruit. Not only there is a cost, obviously, to add those, but in a lot of ways, it's an incremental cost, because we have numbers plugged into the budget for contract services that we would reduce. And these also are revenue generating positions, because, you know, they're seeing people in billing insurances. So to me, those seem like, you know, the low hanging fruit, as I mentioned, to be able to expand our own services and meet the needs. Hank mentioned that, you know, for the first time in recent memory, we are at a point where in some of our service areas, we have waiting lists. I don't want to speak for Hank, but I mean, that's what he advised, which, you know, in this day and age where the demand for mental health services and substance abuse services are so high, you know, that's an issue. So it's a long way to say, you know, this is just a way to kick off the discussion for you folks on how to utilize these opioid funds. But to me, the low hanging fruit does seem like allocating funds to utilize to increase staffing in that department.
Yeah, just to add to what Jack has shared with you, you know, in the 28 years that I've worked for the county, this is the first time we've had a wait list. We have approximately 200 people that are on a wait list for mental health clinic, and it's all largely due to the vacant positions with the providers that we have service contracts with. So we're hoping that the county benefits and the state retirement will be enough of an incentive for people that will want to sign on, you know, with us for those county jobs.
So are our service contracts basically by, you know, the job that they do, or are they an annual contract with the people, or a mix?
It's annual contracts. So to give you an example, we have service contracts with Pathways, Catholic Charities, ProAction, but the ones that provide the direct service, counseling type services, treatment services, or Pathways, Catholic Charities, family services, we have one or two positions through them as well.
But if it's all incremental. So if Pathways, Catholic Charities cannot fill, we hesitate to call them positions, fill that service for us, fill that body, we don't get charged for,
correct,
for that. We're just, you know, holding that. So we have extra funds in that contract for services line, because those agencies haven't been able to retain staff to provide those services for us.
So their employees work as part of our license programs, and because it's our license program, we bill for any and all the services that they render. So when they have a vacant position, we unfortunately don't have a person to see the people that need to have services. So we go without until they're able to hire somebody. And like Jack said, with that said, we're charged the overall personnel expense, the cost of that position. So if it's vacant, we don't continue to get charged for that until it's full again.
What's going on with the jail mental health?
Jail mental health, we recently had person that we have a service contract with Catholic Charities part-time. She recently resigned. Catholic Charities miraculously had an applicant, looks like a good applicant. I'm hoping to hear by the end of this week if the person accepts their offer. But outside of that, we're fully staffed at the jail. Things are going real well working with the jail's medical provider that they have a service contract with, Prime Care. They're providing, dispensing all the medications for MAT. We have approximately at any given time, there's 40 to 50 inmates that are involved in the MAT treatment program. Many of those, once they're released back out into the community, continue either through our substance abuse program or CASA Trinity's, whatever their choice might be.
So the substance abuse program that the sheriff had wanted to start is running?
Yes. Yeah, we got that up and running back late winter, early spring, and things are going pretty well.
Hilda, you had a question?
I have a question for Jeff. You said, I think you said, we need to spend this money by 2039.
We will receive revenue streams until 2039, almost like the tobacco settlements that, but we get the initial, it's front loaded in a lot of ways. So we get a lot of money up front and then a lower kind of annual amount.
By the end of the year, 178,000. We have a deadline on when we have to spend it?
I'm not aware of a deadline. No, but for this, a recommendation would be the intent and what's been communicated, and we're still waiting for specific guidelines from the state that we haven't received in terms of those sort of things, you know, any deadlines or anything like that. They want the money to go to addressing substance abuse primarily, or substance use disorders, but also mental health is certainly an eligible use of the funding as well.
And prevention as well, right?
Prevention as well. Yeah. And anything that addresses substance use disorder or mental health.
So if we have
is your microphone?
I turned it on. Sorry. It green is on, right?
Yep.
I got so confused. We have a peer advocate, it sounds like, in Hornell. We have your peer advocate and possibly another. And then we have Brandon. It's just like we're all doing something, but we're not coordinating. Or are we coordinating? We just don't know we're coordinating.
Well, just to add to that, CASA Trinity has two other peer specialists as well. So you're correct in your thinking. There is some coordination, but it certainly can be improved. And that's one of the things as we look forward now and in through this next year. I want to talk to meet with all the agencies that do have the peer services so we can better coordinate everything.
Because Brandon looks at the OD mapping and goes to talk to these people.
Right.
And are all these other people going to do the same thing to the same people?
It does happen. There could be some overlap, and how that would happen is Brandon's, let's just say somebody ODs. So Brandon would be the first line, so to speak. He would go out into the community and meet with that person. How another peer support person might get involved is if that individual agrees to treatment, enrolls in treatment, whether it be in our program or CASA Trinity's, and then typically, depending on what their needs are, they may be linked with another peer specialist at that time. But it's not like there's going to be two people talking to them at the same time. That part of it we do have coordinated pretty well.
Thanks.
John?
Yeah, thank you. You mentioned that CASA Trinity is running a deficit.
Yeah.
How are they meeting their cash flow needs? Are they borrowing money to do that?
It's a good question, John. As you know, we've for a few years now, the county supplemented them. I assume the same has happened with Livingston County with some of their programs. If we need more specific information, certainly I can reach out to Ann Domingos and have her either meet with us, or she could provide me with that information. I can share it with all of you.
Well, my concern is that if we're going to allot some money to CASA Trinity, it shouldn't be used for deficits to make up the deficits they have incurred. That's my feeling. It should be for new programs sitting out there. So,
Scott.
with a backlog of 200 clients, patients, whatever you call them, do we have service standards that the state expects? Because we're basically doing this on behalf of the state, that we're failing because we have a backlog?
Yeah, there are standards to meet. I wouldn't go as far as to say that we're failing necessarily, but what the state expects is that we literally just don't have that person out on a wait list without any support. So what I mean by that is we do, everybody that is referred to us, whether it's self-referral or through a physician, whomever, we do meet with them initially for what we refer to as an intake. At that point in time, we assess whether or not they're at risk. If they are, then we do our very best to somehow, some way, get them enrolled in services. If it appears that they're, you know, have needs, but they could wait, then we put them on the wait list, but it's not without supports. I have my crisis outreach staff that will periodically give them a call to check in to see how they're doing, things of that nature. All those people are informed that if they do have a matter that can't wait, for them to contact us. And again, we manage most of that through our crisis outreach program. So they're on a wait list, but they get some supports, be it they're minimal, but it's the best we can do at this point in time. And the other reason the state doesn't view it as a failure, so to speak, is they realize what we're up against. Doesn't make it any better, or doesn't make it right, but they realize that it's just extremely difficult, whether it's this county, another county in the Finger Lakes. I know my counterparts, even more urban areas, Rochester, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, things are just drying up, so to speak, in terms of applicants for these types of counseling jobs.
So if we fund these requests at the bottom of the agenda, how quickly could you eliminate the backlog? I mean, I guess it all depends on how quickly you can fill the positions first, but.
Exactly. It's all contingent in terms of getting applications, getting people that are willing to work. Once we fill at least a couple few of those positions, that'll help immensely in terms of, you know, knocking that number down. Now, that number would be even higher. Just to give you an idea, most counselors currently have a caseload of upwards of 100 to 120 people, which is not good, because you do the math. In an ideal world, we'd love to see someone weekly or every other week, but you just don't get to do that when the case numbers are that high. But the reason that we don't have 600 people on a wait list is because the staff that remain, that are currently still with us, have absorbed as many as they can to try to get things through. But it's we're kind of reaching a breaking point, to be honest with you.
So I was just wondering, is that what you view as like the most bang for our buck as far as how we're going to help mental health, is to get these positions in place?
It, from a county perspective, if we reclassify the positions with personnel, that'll help us immensely. Hopefully that will be enough incentive to recruit some people. That will shore up our programs. As you guys know, we're still the primary provider, the largest provider within the county. So if we can shore things up on our end, everybody's going to benefit from that.
So Dr. Chapman, as you reduce the contracts with the outside companies and bring people in-house, do you have the opportunity of bringing some of their people in for these positions?
Yes. Most, if not all of them, do meet the qualifications for the jobs. So I do anticipate that will happen in some cases. So, you know, the plus of that is hopefully that'll help with our retention. We won't have so much staff overturn that we've experienced the past couple few years. But with that said, it'll open up the door opportunities for some of the vacant positions that'll still be with Pathways. Catholic Charities. You know, at some point, things are going to swing back. I mean, I have to think optimistic. I wish I could give you a time frame in terms of when that's going to happen. But at some point, you know, the market's going to come back. But until then, we've, like I've discussed with Jack and Chris and Nate, we've got to try and make our best attempt to shore things up.
What do you mean by the market's going to come back?
In terms of employment, people looking for these types of positions for whatever reason, you know, not telling you anything you don't already know, but with the added stress of COVID and different things, there's a lot of people have made life changes, especially people working in human service type jobs. They've chose to take a break or do something different altogether. But that's where I think eventually it's going to swing back. I think some of those same people will be ready to come back to and be part of the workforce.
Are, just to be clear, are the requests below tied directly to drug counseling, opioid treatment, that type of thing? Because are we talking about the opioid settlement money in the same vein that we're talking about adding all these positions?
Yes.
All of them?
Yeah.
Because you only referenced a couple in how you thought you could spend opioid settlement money.
Those are in addition to the positions that we're going to look to get reclassified this morning.
So
additional.
They are separate.
They are separate.
Yes. They are separate. And from a budget standpoint, because of those, again, and apologies, but jumping ahead to those personnel, from a budget standpoint, we're going to be fine within his budget because we have those unspent contract dollars. So it is incrementally, obviously, more, and 8 to 10% is my estimate to have them as county staff. So we'd recommend that regardless of the opioid settlement, but the opioid settlement would be incremental addition.
Okay.
Jen.
So, Jack, you said that some of these positions are revenue generating.
Mm-hmm.
So that offsets, you know, I'm assuming we're already generating funds, even though they're contract.
Correct.
So with this additional staff, would we be generating more funds? About the same.
About the same. So you're looking at, again, just rough estimate, 8 to 10% increase on each position over the contract dollars.
So the positions that Hank is asking for comes up to 231,000. Of that, how much is generated in income? Do you have any idea?
Typically, those positions at the very least cover their cost, if not exceed. By it varies by the individual, but just to give you a range, could be anywhere of $10,000 to $35,000-$40,000 over the cost of the position. And where the funding helps is there's always what I refer to as a startup cost. So as people first go into these positions, it takes some time to build their caseload, be it that we have a wait list, it's going to take less time now. But, you know, there is a loss, so to speak, for the first few months once somebody, they go through the training and everything else, especially if they're new to us. If it's somebody that's coming from an agency that already works part of our programs, then, you know, there's no training, they're ready to go. They'll be off to the races.
Carol. Yeah, so I would be on board with the two positions that we're talking about, and I wonder if it would be good, maybe on the balance of what you're proposing, if we kind of get a list of how you prioritize things and why. And people think that's a good way to go about it?
So there's actually three positions that you're talking about here, Hank?
Yeah, there's two full-time counselors and then the equivalent to 1.5 peer support specialists. Those positions, I should, and I'm glad you asked me that, John. It's important to note that the peer specialist positions, they're not county positions. We have a service contract with Catholic Charities, so we would continue with that service contract for those peer specialists. Main reason for that is we don't have a civil service union position for a peer. The other plus from Catholic Charities, in my opinion, is is they provide all the training. There's a lot of training that goes into getting somebody ready to be a peer support and provide those types of services. And that's something that Catholic Charities has shown a lot of expertise of recent years in doing.
Any other questions? Hilda?
So I have I'm confused. So you wanted another peer advocate part-time, right? In your,
yes,
your area. But are you saying Catholic Charities is doing it?
Yeah, so how that works is the funding would come to my department, but then we have a service contract with Catholic Charities for those for that service. So that would pay for the position costs. We would contract with Catholic Charities. We'd add that to our current service contract. We have that extra 1.5. You might say, why is it 1.5? It's because we have one person that's part-time now. So if we do 1.5, it'll give us two full-time people that would be Catholic Charities employees, but they would work part of our substance abuse program.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And just to be clear, would you like me to send an email out with the list?
Yes, like Aaron? I would.
To everyone?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John?
Could we also get a financial statement from Casa Trinity?
Sure.
Maybe, you know, as of last year's ending, sitting out there?
Absolutely.
That would be good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Morning, darling.
Good morning. Just two items this morning. The first one is a new preschool contract with Bright Start Pediatric Services in Fairport.
Motion.
Add another one to the list.
Second, Van Castle.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And then the last one is the preschool transportation bids again. I'm asking you to...
Here we go again.
I'm asking you to rescind the approvals that you have previously given for the 10-month sessions for the 22-23 school year so that we can put them back out to bid again. This was predicated by the fact that we only had two vendors bid. One of the two didn't understand that they could have submitted an alternative bid. So... that's what started this whole ball rolling.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried.
Then you're doing another one.
We're going to put them all back out to bid rapidly to get it in all set for September.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks.
Good morning. I am here to request to renew our contract with Diana, which is our mobile technology contract agency, for 100 hours, $15,500.
Motion, Mullen.
Second,
Van Castle.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And I have one more. I'd like to, we have our and our goals for this year to do management training. And so we have done one this year with DeMarco Consulting Group. So I'd like to enter into an agreement with him for two more trainings, each $2,000. One, the first training will be values and culture, and day two is resiliency. And then our second training will be risk management and difficult discussions.
Motion, Mullen.
Second, Cool.
Any questions?
We have budgets for this?
Yes, everything's budgeted.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. I assume we have to do these individually, so I'll start at the top. The first request is to increase the Center for Elder Law and Justice contract. That's our legal contract, one of our two legal contracts. We want to increase that by $2,500 because they've pretty much exhausted all their funds for this year. They do continue to give us in-kind services when they run out of funds, but we would like to allocate $2,500 for this year.
What exactly do they do?
If somebody is eligible, we give priority for lower income people, and they have to be over 60 and they can't afford their own attorney. It's usually advanced directives, power of attorneys, simple resolution to legal conflicts. We don't do any criminal. We limit it to one consultation a year per person. So that's kind of how we control it, but it's just simple legal matters that people can't afford.
Hush.
Any other questions?
Will $2,500 get us through since we're only halfway through the year and $7,000 has been expensive?
Probably not. But like I said, it's usually around September that they start. They have multiple grants that they work under. So they, even throughout the year, they try to find the most appropriate funding to preserve the Office for the Aging funds. But they do continue to serve through the end of the year. But if we can help them, we try to.
Okay.
Do we have funds available to pay for all these increases?
Yes.
Any other questions?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
The next one, this is the time of year that we sort of figure out what was unspent last year, what's carried over. We had C2 funds, which is federal senior nutrition funds to carry over. So we want to increase Corning Meals contract by $15,000. They originally had $22,000. As you know, they're a quality operation, and the cost of doing business with food commodities and everything else, they can really use a bump. So we would like to reallocate the funds from last year that we could carry over to that contract.
So moved, Hannah.
Second, Ben Castle.
Hilda, you have a question?
No, just a statement. This is huge. This is a huge opportunity for Meals on Wheels.
Really, they do a great job. And I know that every year it gets harder and harder to maintain the quality that they do. And yeah.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The next one, again, is the C2 funding, the federal funding that's carried over. So we would like to increase ProAction's senior nutrition contract by $12,105.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions?
What is it that they're going to be? Like, what part of their work is it that it'll be for? Is it just their general budget or what's?
It's probably a lot of it would be going to the added cost of food commodities. As you know, it's harder and harder to find workers. So, you know, whenever we meet about their budget, we always hear about the burden of salary and fringe.
What is the C1, C2?
C1 is the congregate funding, the federal funding for senior nutrition, and C2 is the home delivered meals portion of that federal funding. And under the major disaster distinction, we're allowed to the flexibility to move it back and forth as needed. You know that early on in the pandemic, the congregate meal sites shut down, so that the spending was more in the area of the uptick in the home delivered meals for people who were shut at home.
Any other questions, Hilda?
So there's a difference between ProAction meal delivery and Corning and the Meals on Wheels and Corning. Because Meals on Wheels does everything with volunteers and just two paid staff, where ProAction's meals are pretty much all paid. They're right. All paid staff.
you know, it's easy to try to compare the two, but there's a lot of nuances. Yes, the volunteer base for Corning Meals. Also, ProAction does all of our congregate meal sites. So it is a little bit different. And they, while ProAction does use volunteers, they have a lot of paid staff too.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. So Steuben Senior Services Fund did the pilot program so that we could use state dollars, the ISIP ancillary home care dollars, to fund Full Circle America. And we did the pilot program that was highly successful. So the state approved it permanently. So we need to increase their contract to carry those members all the way through the end of the year. So we want to increase that contract by $14,000.
So move. Cool.
Second, Van Castle.
Patty, how many do we have? How many clients?
Right now on the pilot program, there's six.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any questions, Hilda?
So when does the pilot end?
It did end. Now they're permanently allowing us to use those ISIP ancillary funds for Full Circle America.
Is there a wait list?
Not for that, no. Okay. Traditional ISIP, yes, there is, which is another reason why we were going after this, because people who are on our waiting list, instead of giving them no service, if it's appropriate, we can give them Full Circle America service while they're waiting to get on the traditional program. And Full Circle America doesn't do any hands-on care, whereas the traditional ISIP does.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Great. And the last increase is home and health care, our respite contract. We'd like to increase by $14,000. And we had some excess ISIP funds that could be used for respite, and there always is a demand for respite. So we do have clients that can use that service.
Motion, Mullen.
Second, Hannah. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Now, the last thing is I need authorization to put out a RFP for the restaurant program. I've mentioned to you before that the congregate meal sites, the attendance is dropping statewide, and Steuben County is no different. And we would like to look at a different service line to allow senior nutrition clients to go to a restaurant in our county and order off a specific part of the menu that's a healthy diet. And then we would have a voucher program that would allow them to access the subsidy from the state funding.
I'll make the motion for the RFP. Be interesting to see what comes back and whether it's worth it.
I'll second.
Any other questions?
Is this in place anywhere else in the state?
Chautauqua County, I've been talking to them a lot, in Erie County, one of the O counties, maybe Oneida, I can't remember, but there's a few counties that have done it. Yeah, and I did put feelers out to some restaurants to see if they'd be interested in doing it. And they're skeptical because they're not sure what the requirements would be in terms of Department of Health kitchen inspections and that sort of thing. But I think the beauty of getting into this a little later than other counties is we have kind of their stories to help inform how we design our program.
And is that a mix of independent restaurants and franchise kind of quick service?
Right. You know, what we envision is just kind of that small restaurant that generally caters to seniors anyway. And if the restaurant is hesitant, we could even talk to them about having Tuesday be senior day so that it's sort of confined to a certain part of the week, maybe where their foot traffic is lower.
Okay. Thank you.
Hilda?
So, I think it's a great idea, but does this require you guys to, I mean, I know from being in the restaurant business, you give them a menu and they say, oh, I don't want that. I want something else.
Is that something you guys have to manage, or how are you going to do this?
Well, the way I envision it is people can get the vouchers and we'll have a finite amount of money that we've set aside for the restaurant program. So we give out the vouchers. As you know, there's a $4 donation, suggested donation that we are required to ask for. Anything above that we negotiate on the price of the meal, we would have to pay out of the nutrition program. It's going to be a little bit complicated to set up. Now, if somebody goes and orders the chef salad that is on the approved menu, there's nothing to stop them from ordering the apple pie at the end of the meal, but that would not be on the subsidized program. They would have to pay that separately.
Maybe you could run a sting operation, Hilda.
Hey, I'm there.
So, Patty, are we going this route because people don't want to use the congregate sites?
I think there's a part of the population that we're not serving just because people don't want to go to a congregate site for a variety of reasons. And so I think this just gives another way for people to help with their nutrition and get some socialization. And I think the fact that you can go to a restaurant and not be identified as somebody who's going to a senior nutrition site, I think that's appealing to some people.
New motion. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, baby.
Do you have any restaurants picked out, Hilda, where you're going to go?
$4 is going to get you a lot.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Since there's already been some discussion, I'm not going to go into great detail, but if you have any questions for myself or Jack or Hank, we'd be happy to answer them. We're asking to fund and reclassify two zero-based senior social worker positions to two staff social worker positions. It is a downgrade. Do you want to do them all together or?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. We also are looking to take a zero-based staff psychologist position to a staff social worker position, another downgrade, as well as three zero-based social work assistant positions to three staff social worker positions. That is an upgrade.
And we go back to A because we decided we're going to do these separately.
Oh, we are going to. Okay. I didn't hear you up there.
So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second, Hannah.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Okay. And for B, staff psychologist to staff social worker position.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Questions?
I just do have a question generally on these. These are separate from what we were talking about adding with Hank, correct? So do we have the budgeted funds to cover these? We're looking at what, 140? How much are we looking at adding? Approximately a couple hundred thousand,
but benefits? But these are services that were contemplated that we would contract for, mm-hmm. that we haven't spent okay. those funds. So there will be, again, that 8 to 10%
yep.
over that, but we should be able to carry that within the wage lines and the other lines within their budget. Certainly we're not asking to go to contingency or anything like that.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the last one is three zero-based social work assistant positions reclassified to three staff social worker positions.
So moved, Anna.
Second. Cool.
Any questions? Aaron, I'm
sorry. Do we need to do some sort of reduction in our contract work line along with us, or is that just, well, you'll have to come back to overspend that now, or how does that work?
So off the top of my head, depending upon how this rolls out, we have authorizations to transfer, I think, up to $25,000 at a time between those just with us. But it would likely, yes, once we start actually being able to recruit and fill, we'd have to come back here and finance to do a transfer from contracts to services to salaries.
So I would think that would be good to, is this coming to full legislature, the personnel?
The upgrades do. The downgrades require a standing committee and admin. The upgrades would require full board.
Even when there were zero base before?
Mm-hmm. If there's money in the budget. Yep. That's what the admin code says.
Interesting.
Any other questions?
So just downgrade everything.
We've done that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, you wanted to talk.
Yeah, I do have one informational item real quick. Not sure if you folks saw the NYSAC news yesterday, but there was a really interesting report out in Salamanca. The newspaper out there did a study of the latest census data and looked at the percentage of population of New York State counties that are veterans. And we actually rank number two in the state, only behind Jefferson County, which has Fort Drum. 10% of our residents are veterans. So that's 7,522, according to the last census. So really cool. Obviously, Gary Smith, director, is here. We're going to work with Mary to do a press release because we thought that was a pretty cool thing and a notable thing to, you know, let the public know about.
That's good.
I would also add that that brings money into the county with that number of veterans getting services.
Certainly, and having obviously the VA hospital here is a major impact. But yeah, it does have a tremendous benefit to the county.
Anything else, Jim?
Nothing, no.
Under other business, I just wanted to recognize Brandon Buter for his accomplishment of being Bath Rotary Citizen of the Year for 2022. And I think it's well-deserved. And that's in conjunction with the opioid crisis. So kudos to him. Anything else? May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Hannah.
Second, Van Castle.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.